Jesus at the Marriage in Cana, Chapter 12. The village of Cana lies to the north of Nazareth, and the distance is a walk of 3 hours. Cana is only a small village, and the inhabitants do not belong to the rich. A pleasant atmosphere prevails in one of these houses, because a wedding feast will be celebrated there. The wedding feasts in Cana were celebrated for 7 or 14 days. You can easily understand that everything was prepared many days before the coming feast. Bread and fruits, meat and wine were brought and made ready. Of course, this also was the case with this wedding feast. Most likely, Mary, the mother of Jesus, went to Cana a few days before to help. We do not know whether or not her husband Joseph was still alive. He probably had died, because we no longer hear anything of him. Whatever it may be, Mary was present. Many writers say this bride and bridegroom were related to Mary. Because they were not very rich, they did not prepare too much, only enough for the invited guests. They suddenly hear that the Lord Jesus has returned to Cana. He did not come alone. No, 5 men are with him. They are the 5 disciples who followed him. In the previous chapter, we told you how the Lord Jesus had called these disciples to him. They were John and Andrew, Simon Peter, Philip, and Nathanael. Nathanael was no stranger in Cana, for that was his birthplace. The Lord Jesus went from Judea to Galilee. When they hear that Jesus is again in the vicinity, he is invited with his 5 disciples. The Lord Jesus does not refuse, but goes with his disciples. How astonished his disciples must have been. Their former master, John the Baptist, lived so differently. John continuously reminded them of their sins. He always preached, "Repent ye." He fasted often, which means that sometimes he did not eat during the entire day. He directed them to the Lamb of God. And now that they are with this King of Kings, he goes directly to a wedding feast. Yet they go with him, and thereby 6 additional guests come unexpectedly to this wedding. No doubt they had not figured on this in their purchases for the feast. They are gathered together sociably in this house at this wedding feast. It was no ungodly feast. Indeed not, for Jesus was in their midst. Oh, boys and girls, many wedding feasts are celebrated in our country, but to most of them the Lord Jesus is not invited, but the devil is. Many times drunkenness and all kinds of wickedness abound. There is often singing and dancing, frequently far into the night. So often unbecoming things are done. Have you ever been to such a wedding feast? I hope not. It is true, a wedding is no funeral. Mirth can and may prevail, but proper mirth, and it always must be in such a way that Jesus also can be in the midst of it. This wedding feast in Cana was celebrated pleasantly. They drank a glass of wine. Why not? We may use wine, but never misuse it. However, after a while, there is no more wine. It is all gone. Really, this is a disgrace for that family. It shows they did not buy enough, and probably they had no money left to buy more. Mary, the mother of Jesus, knows the wine is gone, as she thinks this is rather annoying. She is ashamed because of the other guests. The Lord Jesus sits near Mary, probably next to her. At once, a nice thought comes into Mary's mind. Her child is the King of Kings, the Son of God, the Almighty One. Formerly, centuries ago, Elisha miraculously helped a poor widow woman. From a small pot of oil, many large vessels of oil were poured full, so this widow was at once delivered from all her cares and needs. Oh, if that could occur here too, wouldn't that be splendid? The Lord Jesus can do it. Mary doesn't doubt that for a moment. Do you know what? She will tell him. She will quietly give him a hint. She leans toward him and whispers softly, "They have no wine." By this she means, "Come, thou canst help. Give us wine. Perform a miracle." Ah, Mary would be greatly pleased if Jesus would let them see who he is. And what answer does the Lord Jesus give? Read it, for his answer is written in God's word. "Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come." Is the Lord Jesus permitted to say that? Are you permitted to say to your mother, "Woman"? No, you may not. It would be shameful and impudent. But can Jesus say that to his mother, "Woman"? Isn't that impudent? No, boys and girls, the Lord Jesus is not impudent herein. He was never impudent, and he isn't this time. But here Mary does something which she may not do. She must learn that the Lord did not come to be her servant. The Lord Jesus came to do the will of his heavenly Father, and in this Mary had nothing to say. Therefore Jesus spoke to her as he did. No, he doesn't say it rudely, but kindly. Neither does he say, "I will not do it," but he says, "Mine hour is not yet come." Mary does not become angry, but she still hopes Jesus will help. Listen to what she says to the servants. "Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." It is as though she says, if Jesus commands you to do anything, do not refuse, but obey him immediately. She waits, but her heart trembles with eager expectation, and Jesus does not put her trust to shame. The bride and bridegroom are in a most embarrassing position. The wine is gone, and there is no money to buy more. They do not know what to do. This causes the joy of the feast to be disturbed. Suddenly, the servants begin to work diligently. What are they doing? 6 large stone water pots are standing in the house, probably near the door. The water which was carried in them was used to clean and purify all things. However, at present, these stone pots are empty. The Lord Jesus says to the servants, "Fill the water pots with water." The servants do not ask, "Why must we do this?" But they immediately obey. In those days, there were no water pipes, so they had to dip water out of a well or a spring, and the servants poured this water into the empty vessels, which are soon filled to the brim. After the servants had finished this work, they tell Jesus. The Lord Jesus tells them to dip out some and bring it to the governor of the feast. The governor was one who regulated the entire feast at this wedding. We often have such a man at our weddings too, but we do not call him the governor, but the master of ceremonies. The servants also fulfill this command immediately. But what must this man do with water? He doesn't want water. He needs wine. Water is plentiful, but wine is scarce. The servants walk to the governor with some water. However, when they come to him, it is no longer water. It has turned into wine. Not only the small amount they have, but also the water in the pots is changed into wine. O children, see in this a proof of the almighty power of God. People cannot do this. Only God can. The governor tastes it. Tastes it again. Delicious. Immediately he goes to the bridegroom and says in astonishment, "It is the custom to serve the best wine first, and when the good wine is gone, then that which is inferior is served. But you have kept the best wine for last." When the Lord Jesus gives us anything, he gives us that which is good. Yea, he gives us the very best. This is true here. Suddenly, there is an abundance of wine. A few hundred quarts of the best wine are in the water pots, ready for use. There is plenty. Surely the bridegroom and the bride were very happy. The Lord helped miraculously. They did not expect this great blessing. The disciples and the other guests soon notice what has happened. They all observe this with great astonishment. The Word of God tells us the disciples believed in him. Now they see they have not been mistaken. He really is the Son of God. The Lord Jesus not only performed this miracle to help this bridal pair out of their perplexity, but he did it for another reason. He would manifest his majesty and glory. He would reveal to the Jewish people by signs and miracles that he is the Messiah and not another. We too can learn something from this. We may ask the Lord Jesus for the ordinary daily things which we need in this life. Do you need anything? Bend your knees and ask him to give it to you. Of course, we sometimes ask for things which could be harmful to us, things which would not benefit us, but would ruin us. Yes, in these cases, the Lord does not give them. But if we, in humility, ask him for something, and it is for our good, and to the honor of God, he will answer us and give it. The Lord Jesus did that in Cana. He used his power to increase the joy at this feast. This is the first miracle which the Lord Jesus performed.